knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning. Happy Halloween, everybody. It is Halloween edition of the Real Estate Hour. We're rocking out here to the spooky scary. Who remembers that song? We were racking our brains, my daughter and I, trying to figure out where is this song from. It's actually, this is a remix version, but it was a Disney, like from the 90s, a Disney. There's a video with little skeletons dancing. Anyway, raise your hand if you remember this song. And now, you're welcome. It'll be now stuck.
Happy Halloween to you.
Stuck in your head all day. Happy Halloween. My Halloween is, I think, one of my favorite holidays. I mean, it is one of my favorite. I think it may be my favorite holiday. It's just so much fun. I love to... you know, I love to get dressed up. I love to get, I think the older I get, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do the scary movies and haunted house things. But I like the fun getting dressed up. I'm loving watching all the Halloween parties and kids going out doing the trunk or treats and the trick or treats and all the kind of, it's nice when it falls on a weekend because it turns into a whole weekend of fun for the kiddos. And I'm a little late to the party where we're just getting, I carved my pumpkins yesterday.
And the kiddos have a year to make up for. Remember that when you're giving out your treats tonight.
Right, last year.
It was eliminated last year because we were right in the middle of the pandemic. And then the
year before that, the fires had just happened.
Right. There's always something, isn't
there? Good grief. So celebrate the fact that everything is, for the most part, good this year.
The rain is supposed to hold off.
Yeah.
We're supposed to get some overnight and tomorrow, but...
Tonight will be okay.
Should be okay.
On my way over here, I must have gone under a rain cloud. It just was pouring over in that kind of West College area. Long
it
Fulton.
Looked like it got pretty wet overnight.
Yeah.
I slept. So it's pretty wet out there, isn't it?
It is wet, but it wasn't raining when I left my house over in Northwest Santa Rosa, but as I was heading between here and there, it was coming down. I went, oh no, I hope it doesn't rain. For the kiddos, I do remember my son was born in October, my youngest son, and we had a Halloween party. And he was, I think he was like 3 weeks old, or 2 weeks old. And we went out, it was pouring down rain and had him all bundled up and, in a carrier and all covered up. He was perfectly fine and well cared for. But anyway, we went out because I have other kids. So we went out and it was just raining, but we went out anyway. It was still fun. Anyway, so happy Halloween, you guys. Be safe and careful. Look out for the kids out there on the streets. Anyway, just be aware when you're driving around today. So we're going to be talking about a couple of things about not-so-scary real estate numbers. Real estate, the market is still just kind of roaring along, and we'll talk about the numbers next week. I'll go through the whole, let you know kind of everything that happened in October, but we'll go over just our normal weekly numbers this week. And then a couple of things. There's a... if I could find it. There's a public meeting coming up November 4th. There's a tree ordinance or a revision to the county's tree ordinance. And I want to talk a little bit about, if we have time, I'll probably later on in the show, talk a little bit about, things to be aware of when you're buying a home. Kind of going with our theme of scary things that can happen when you're buying a home, to be aware of the fact that trees are one of the really big issues for several reasons now. There's the concern with fire. There's the having to keep the defensible space. Mixed in with all of that is an ordinance of the city or the county that says you can't remove certain trees. So how do you navigate that? And when you're buying a property and you're looking at it and going, oh, well, I would take those trees out and those over there, and I don't want, I want to open it up. I want some more space. There's some really strict rules about what you can do, especially with our Valley Oaks the heritage oaks and other trees that you can't. I had a client in Novato a few years back had this huge tree that they had actually planted, and it got to where it was a certain diameter around, and the city said, well, now that it's this big, you can't remove it. And they're all, well, we put it there. They're all, too bad, it's a heritage tree now. It was this huge, messy, I can't remember what kind of tree, but they wouldn't let them cut it down. So anyway, something to be aware of when you are buying a home. Make sure if you are thinking, well, I'd like to cut these trees down, make sure that you can. And then also on the other end of that, if you want to keep, you're buying the house because of the beautiful trees that are surrounding the house, find out then, is it in an area where the defensible space rules are going to kick in, and their county's going to come along, or the fire department, and say that has to come out. Anyway, so scary things that could happen in real estate. Trees. So there is November 4th. There's a meeting, public meeting. I'll post it on the Facebook page, and on the I'll give it to Joe to put on the podcast. But it is beginning at 1 o'clock. That item is expected to begin at 1:30. There's a Zoom link for that. If you go to the County of Sonoma, there's a comprehensive tree ordinance update. So they're re-looking at this because they're saying they have all these protections in place for our trees. At the same time, there's the fire issue that made them kind of rethink this and say, okay, how can we rewrite the rules and make it so that it all works together, conserving the trees and then protecting the environment, and at the same time protecting homes and the forest management and all of that. So they're rethinking it. If you have some input, you're welcome to join the public meeting on Zoom, and you give them your input there. So they're looking for input. So anyway, we'll I guess I kind of just covered that, so we won't talk about that later. But we do have, I have an interesting conversation coming up at 9:30 with Matt Stone, who's the acting executive director for Petaluma River Park organization, which is a nonprofit group that got together and said, this beautiful kind of an island, it's like a peninsula in the middle of Petaluma River, and they want to put it in, make it into a park. So they got together, created this 501(c), a nonprofit group, to purchase the land, and now they're working on what to do with it and make it into a park for the people. Matt Stone's going to call in at 9:30 and talk about just how they got this together to do it, and how do you buy an island and create a park, and what they're looking for public support. They have some matching funds, matching grants. So he's going to call in and talk all about that. I think it's really interesting way to go about doing things. So I wanted to chat with him. And then we'll go over the numbers. So let's take a little break. We'll come back. I'll go through the numbers real quick, and then we will talk to Matt when he calls at 9:30. So this is the Real Estate Hour. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back.
It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice.
The Ramsey Show, now weekday afternoons 1 to 3 on KSRO.
Sonoma County has been through a lot, and once again, local businesses are finding creative solutions to stay in business, support their employees, and put money back into the community.
As a local realtor and Sonoma County resident, I've seen firsthand the direct link between the health and strength of our community and that of the real estate market. I've raised a family here, been through the aftermath of the fires, I've seen the real estate market fluctuate, and have seen our community rally. As a member of Sonoma County Go Local, I'll be doing what I can to give back to the community by featuring a local business or nonprofit each week on the Real Estate Hour. Stay safe, keep socially distancing, support our community, and reach out if you need some help. We're in this together. We are Sonoma Strong.
Allison Norman is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty and host of Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, Sundays at 9 a.m. on KSRO. To discuss your specific real estate needs or to make a no-obligation appointment, call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 01720334.
I'm Steve Kerr.
I'm Stephen Curry.
I'm Jonathan Kuminga.
I'm Kevon Looney.
Hey, I'm James Wiseman.
I'm Damian Lee.
I'm Andre Iguodala. And you're listening to KSRO, the North Bay headquarters of Dove Nation.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul. Steal your doom tonight.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back. It is the Real Estate Hour holiday Halloween edition, and welcome. If you like Halloween like I do, anyway, today is our day.
And this is really the start of the holiday season.
It is,
every month from here on out.
Oh gosh, it was like
so hard.
I went out looking. I was a little slow getting into Halloween this year, and I was
skipped right to Christmas.
I know. Oh my gosh, I went all the stores. I went into, the normal places you go to look for Halloween stuff. I went into Walgreens, had a little bit of stuff left. Where did I go? Home Depot and all of their stuff is gone. It's all Christmas now. Everything is just it's all the Halloween is gone and it's Christmas already. Anyway, I'm all, come on, celebrate. Let's celebrate Halloween, and then we can have Christmas. And, don't forget about Thanksgiving. Good grief. A lot of people think that the last quarter of the year is the slowest, and everybody stops selling houses and nobody's buying, and that's just not true. Maybe in parts of the country where the snow and the weather really restricts, and you've got snow halfway up the front of the house, and how is anybody even going to come look at it? How are you going to do inspections and all that? Well, we don't have that issue here. So it really is one of the best times in the year. It's one of the busiest times in my real estate business. It's usually one of the busiest quarters of the year, the last 3 months. So anyway, it's going along nicely. I'll talk a little bit about the numbers, but I had a fun story about a article about haunted houses and would you buy a haunted house? And there was a survey that was done by Rocket Homes. So not promoting any particular company, but this is a survey they did. But it said they asked people if buying a haunted house wouldn't spook a third of Americans, it says. So they asked, would you buy a haunted house? And one quarter of adults claim to have lived in a haunted house. One in three Americans would be willing to purchase a house that is haunted. Only 21% would try to sell a house they purchased if they discovered it was haunted. So they would still live there if they discovered it was haunted. It's interesting that they're 16% used to live in a haunted house, 10% said they currently live, 19.7% say they know someone who has lived in a haunted house, and 31% said they don't have any previous experience but believe in haunted houses, and 21.9% said they do not believe in haunted houses. I guess the moral of the story is that people don't mind. We have a disclosure in our contract that requires you to let somebody know if somebody has passed away in the home within the last 3 years. And most people don't mind. There are some cultures where it's very taboo to buy a home that somebody has died in. And so I think that's why the disclosure, because it really does bother some people. And in particular cultures, it's just not, I don't know how you get around that, but, if it happens, it happens. But anyway, one third of Americans are okay if their house is haunted. They're just fine with that, and they'll live happily with a ghost. So that's your haunted house story for the day. excuse me. So real estate numbers, let's talk about the real estate numbers here in this last week. And as I said, next week we'll go into the whole month of October, but we'll just do our regular looking at the week in real estate and what's currently active on the market. 518 homes. That's actually down a little bit. It's been closer to 600. So currently right now on the market, 518 homes. In escrow, there are 559, so there's more in escrow than there are active on the market. And that is a sign that there are, you know, that the buyers are keeping up with the inventory. And if anything, in this case, there is not enough inventory because it's there are more in escrow than there are active on the market. And that number, like I said, is a little bit down as far as active on the market. And these are single family homes. Looking at condos and townhouses, that market continues to be really, really tight. There's only 40 active condos and townhouses on the market in all of Sonoma County right now, and there are 75 currently in escrow. So that's a huge shortage of inventory. And so if you own a condo, if you're thinking about selling, really, it's a good time right now, and it has been for a while. There's just been a real tight inventory on the condo market, so consider that. Right now, you could have quite a bit of competition for your home. Mobile homes are 53 on the market and 52 in escrow. That's a pretty consistent number. That mobile homes have been selling pretty good. And I think that has to do with when the market, same with the condos, when the market gets higher, when the prices get higher, a lot of people are priced out of the single family home market. And if it's in a location they're looking for and they're not finding a single family home in their price point, then they start looking at condos. Similar thing happens with mobile homes. It's an affordable way of owning real estate. Although many argue that mobile home isn't really real estate, it's actually treated more like personal property, like a vehicle. But it really isn't. It's a good real estate purchase. You just need to keep in mind that the rents on the mobile home park can be pretty high. So when you're looking at the price of a mobile home, keep in mind that you are going to be paying rent also. So definitely, in my opinion, you're better off if you can get into a single family home or a condo rather than a mobile home. But for some people, a mobile home is a good option. Multi-unit, 2 to 4 units, there are 66 active on the market and 44 in escrow. That multi-unit market's moving a little bit slower than the rest of the market. You know, my opinion, my thought on that is probably because the eviction moratorium that was in place, the rental restrictions, rental ordinances in the city and the county have kind of scared some people off, scared investors off, and they would rather not buy a multi-unit. Having said that, if you are having a hard time finding a property in the single family home market, take a look at the multi-units because they are selling slower. There's a little bit more wiggle room, I think, for getting an offer in there and less competition. That doesn't mean every single one is going to have no competition and, you could get overbid and beat out on multi-units as well, but just take a look at it and talk to your lender, because sometimes you can go a little bit higher in your qualifying amount, your loan amount, if they'll count a portion of that rent towards your income. If you're going to rent out one of the units, and you can live in one unit, up to 4 units, you can live in one and you can get owner-occupied financing, FHA financing, VA financing, if you live in one of the units. So it's a good way to go if you're not finding what you want in that single family home market. Lots and land, there are 290 lots, and this is residential and acreage, residential lot and residential acreage. There are 290 active on the market. That's also down a little bit, and I think as we head in, that's the one segment of the market that does slow down a little bit during the holidays or during the last quarter of the year because we get the rain. A lot of people want to wait in there until it's all mucky, not all mucky and muddy, and they'll wait until later in spring when we've had all the rain and all of that is over with. That being said, though, I think any time of the year is a good time to go take a look at some land. It's actually a good time to look and see what happens to the land and how the drainage works and all of that during the rainy season, and you can see where the, you know, vernal pools are. You can see where the runoff is, and where it floods every year. And also, if you're doing septic, if you're going to be putting a septic in, you need to have that testing done during the wet weather. And I don't know. I'll have to look and see what if we've had enough rain now to where they can open that up. I know the dry well testing. The day after we had that flooding, all the rain, they announced that the dry well testing was over because there's now water. Anyway, so it goes the other way around with the septic. When you need to have a wet water perk, you've got to do it in the rainy season. So anyway, I'll look into that and see if that's open. I would imagine now it is, that we've had some rain. But don't quote me on that. And if you want, you can find out. You go to the County of Sonoma and just Google wet water perk season and see if it's open. Anyway, there are 63 in escrow, so that's a big difference. That market does move a lot slower. That's typical, that there are way less in escrow and that sell than there are actually active on the market of lots and land. Taking a quick look at the hot sheet, which is a kind of a snapshot of what happened this last week in real estate. 92 new listings came on the market, and this is just single family homes. 92 new listings came on the market, 20 came back on the market. So whether they, you know, fell out of escrow for one reason or another, they came back on the market and they're available now. Price reductions, there were 32. Contingencies, 112 went into escrow and are in the contingent status, which means that they're looking through all the reports, they're doing inspections, they're waiting for their loan and their appraisal, and they are what's considered contingent, which means if for some reason things don't go the way they planned, can't get the loan, can't, you know, doesn't appraise, it can't negotiate a price reduction, inspections come up, really too many things wrong with the property, or they can't negotiate anything with the repairs or credits, it comes back on the market. And you can back out if you're within that contingency period, you can back out without jeopardizing your initial deposit funds. Once it goes to pending, then you're pretty much locked in. That means you've done all your inspections, you've got your loan, you've got the appraisal, everything's good, you're ready to buy this property. There are 82 that are in the pending status this week that went to pending. So congratulations, everybody. You're about to buy a house or about to sell a house. And sold, there were 131 homes that sold, the single family homes that sold this last week. So congratulations to everybody that bought or sold a home this last week and closed escrow. And congratulations to you. There are the median sold for this last week was $750,000. That's the middle of the market. There's multi-million dollar things that sold and you know, a couple hundred thousand dollar out by the river. So we'll talk. There were just a rough number right now. There were 454 homes, single family homes that closed in October. Same median home price, $750,000, but we'll see there because a lot of people won't report that until, you know, beginning of next week. So by next week, we should have some better numbers. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to talk about the Petaluma River Park and what's happening with that and learn all about that from Matt Stone, the acting executive director. So we will be right back. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Be right back.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
President Biden announced a new trade agreement between the U.S. and the European Union at the G20 in Rome. It eases tariffs on EU steel and aluminum. President says this will reduce greenhouse gas emissions and create good-paying jobs in the U.S.
It's a testament to the power of American diplomacy and strong partnerships to deliver tangible benefits for American workers and the middle-class families in America.
Climate change has been a major topic at the G20. Later today, the president travels to Glasgow, Scotland for the UN climate conference that opened today. It's the final weekend of campaigning in races for governor in New Jersey and in Virginia, where polls show a tie between Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin. One person was killed, 9 others hurt in a shooting at a Halloween party in Texarkana, Texas. The shooter still at large. Authorities in Tokyo say a man stabbed several passengers and set a fire on a train. That man's been arrested. Tokyo Fire Department says 17 people were hurt, 3 of them seriously. Brian Clark, ABC News.
KSRO.
Sonoma County has been through a lot. And once again, local businesses are finding creative solutions to stay in business, support their employees, and put money back into the community.
As a local realtor and Sonoma County resident, I've seen firsthand the direct link between the health and strength of our community and that of the real estate market. I've raised a family here, been through the aftermath of the fires, I've seen the real estate market fluctuate, and have seen our community rally. As a member of Sonoma County Go Local, I'll be doing what I can to give back to the community by featuring a local business or nonprofit each week on the Real Estate Hour. Stay safe, keep socially distancing, support our community, and reach out if you need some help. We're in this together. We are Sonoma Strong.
Allison Norman is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty and host of Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, Sundays at 9 a.m. on KSRO. To discuss your specific real estate needs or to make a no-obligation appointment, call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 01720334.
I'm KSRO's Dale Tresillas with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Cloudy skies for your Sunday Halloween, high of 63, 61 along the coast. Expect some rain overnight, but after midnight, more closer though to the evening along the coast. Overnight lows will be 54 degrees, 53 on the shores. Rain is expected throughout Monday, about a half an inch, high of 59. Tuesday, mid-60s with mostly cloudy skies. Depend on weather every 30 minutes at FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
He did the mash. It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. Oh. My love was
Oh, we're having a Halloween party over here. Happy Halloween, everybody. The monster mash. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about the Petaluma River Park, and I have Matt Stone on the line, who is the acting executive director for the Petaluma River Park Foundation. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. I thought, I can't remember where I ran across. I think it may maybe on Facebook where we hear all kinds of news, but I came across the information about this park, and I was just really intrigued by it, and wanted to chat with you more about it. So I appreciate you calling in. I think it's great that this land available, and you all created a nonprofit organization to turn it into a park for the people. And it's intriguing to me, and I think it's a great way of looking at how, if you want something done, you do it yourself. So I'd love to hear more about it. So why don't you let people know what is the Petaluma River Park and what is the project that you're working on?
Well, thank you. And it's very much a real estate story. How many times have any of your listeners driven by and seen a for sale sign and kind of looked in and said, oh, wouldn't that be cool? Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, the young founders of this effort, who were longtime Petaluma residents, drove by and saw a sign on McNair Peninsula saying, for sale, 20 acres. And not all that many people actually know that there's a very substantial piece of land right along the river that has been sitting vacant for 120 years when it was created by dredge spoils or by dredging that created the McNair Channel.
Wow.
So these two young couples looked at themselves and they talked to friends and they got some encouragement from some early supporters to say, well, exactly as you said, Allison, if you want to get something done, do it yourself. And so they went and talked to a real estate broker and got the information on the property, and then they got a little money gathered together and put in an offer, and the offer was accepted, and it took them a year and a half to get through all the entitlement concerns and to raise the necessary funds. But on almost a year ago today, November 20th, the Petaluma River Park Foundation became the proud debt-free owner of 20 acres of wild, unused land in the heart of Petaluma.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think, and if people are wondering where it is, so it almost looks like an island. It's a peninsula, I guess. It's joined in one spot where you could drive on. It right there in the middle of where's it kind of off of?
If you are off of D Street, so the city of Petaluma owns a little bit of the first bit of the peninsula, and that's called Steamer Landing Park, and that encompasses the first 5 or 6 acres of the peninsula, and the rest of the peninsula, which points in a long, narrow strip of land, south towards the 101 overpass over the river. And so it's a significant piece of land with remarkable views east and west. As I said, has been unused and inaccessible to the general public for 120 years. And we're delighted to say that the fence is down. There's a rudimentary trail around the perimeter of the peninsula, and you can go down there at any time and walk around and see what this wonderful blank canvas could become as we work towards figuring out with the community exactly how best this land should be converted to a public park for people, art, and nature.
Yeah, I think it's a great. So it is open to the public now in its raw form to go out and walk around. And then it was the land owned by the city or by a private?
No. So the McNear family that obviously has a long and deep history in Petaluma and the North Bay owned that property since it was created by the Army Corps of Engineers in 1893, as they created what's known as McNear Channel for increased shipping access and to straighten out the last stretch of the Petaluma River into the downtown Turning Basin. And they used the land for cattle grazing from time to time. And at one point in this history, I think it was called Cow Island.
Oh, that's funny.
Sometime in the late 70s or 80s, the city of Petaluma rezoned that land as a park. And obviously, zoning is everything, and that transformed the value of the property. And I think that the McNear family, the heirs, had a little bit of a bad feeling about that. The city has tried to buy the property on several occasions and has been unable to strike a deal with the family. And so that's a really important area where the Petaluma River Park Foundation came in and was able to meet the financial terms of the sellers and create this park and put it in the public domain, so to speak, forever. The city has been trying to do it for 25 years, and we're delighted to have been able to get the last mile done.
Yeah, I think it's great. And well, they must have appreciated your vision and preserving the land and, you know, and all of that. So I think it's great. So the nonprofit was created before, like put together and then set out to purchase the property, it sounds like. Is that kind of?
The timing is a little backwards. The first thing that happens, you know, when you fall in love with a piece of property, you just got to have it. And founders decided that this was too important to pass up, and they got into contract and then realized that to fully execute and to have the appropriate structure so that this part could be managed with the public benefit in mind, that they needed to form a nonprofit. So the nonprofit was formed while we were in contract with the sellers, and the purchaser's name was replaced by amendments to be the nonprofit entity.
Right, interesting. Yeah, it's purchasing something like that in real estate is... you know, like you said, it took a year, you said, or 2 years to do the whole, you know, it's not like a 30-day escrow like if you're buying a house.
No, and there were a number of issues that we had to at least take a look at. One was, were there any substances or toxic concerns? Imagine that dredging up the river and piling it up on that peninsula might have revealed some pollutants of some kind. There were other issues around were there any special species that we had to be concerned about disturbing or...
Right,
Of course, one of the important issues was access.
Yes.
And the parcel is landlocked. Fortunately, the parcel, which is the key, so to speak, is owned by the city and is designated a park, and so there's a natural access through the city park onto our park, and we certainly envisage that the visitor experience will be seamless, and they will enter the park, and they won't really know the difference between when we start and the city park ends and vice versa.
Right. Kind of like I know at Annandale and Spring Lake, you know, there's a sign that says you're now entering, you know, Annandale State Park. You wouldn't know any difference, but, you know, it's the access. So you had to establish an easement and all of that. It is quite a process. And it's funny that you said, you know, it was done kind of backwards. And sometimes you just do. You know the saying, you leap and the net will appear. So... that's what you all did. So I think that's great. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so access was an important consideration that we had to understand. Would be no good to have a 20-acre park that nobody could get to.
Right.
And then there are issues. A small portion of the peninsula at the very tip that belongs to Basin Street properties, so we needed to understand what their position might be in terms of releasing that to the development of the park, and then there were concerns around the very narrow access, and we wanted to think about whether we could construct a bridge to join the peninsula to the Lakeville side of the channel and become and create that connection for a pedestrian and bicycle trail that would then connect downtown Petaluma all the way down under the 101 overpass through the city-owned marina parking lot and out to Schoenberg Park and the South McDowell light industrial area, which would create then an off-surface road commute bike trail and, of course, the riverfront access of 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah, wow.
would really be an exciting and important fulfillment of the 1996 Petaluma River access plan.
That we're still working on. Yeah, I think that sounds great. And to, you know, for the pedestrian and the bike and all of that, areas to get outdoors, especially, you know, after COVID. And we've really, I think, all appreciate getting outdoors and having the access to trails and to parks and all of that. So what is, you're 100% volunteer based, and you have some, there's some grants that you are working, or you have you received a grant, a matching grant, and now you're looking to match it?
Yeah. And COVID has interrupted so many things. It was actually the 2020 matching grant program by the Sonoma County Agriculture and Open Space District that we applied for. We applied for a $2 million grant, and they awarded us a $1 million grant. And so that grant lives over 5 years, and with support the initial planning and entitlement work, as well as some of the early phase construction. And as I said, that's a matching grant, so we have to raise or contribute in kind the equivalent of the dollar input from the county.
Okay. So you need to, your goal is $1 million so that you can get that matching grant. What type of fundraising, and how can the community get involved in this?
Well, there's a number of ways that the community can get involved. As you mentioned, we are an all-volunteer organization, although as we have conducted a lot of planning and reflection. We're a little bit like the dog that caught the fire truck when we acquired this property. All of a sudden, we say, "Oh my!"
Now what?
And so we've realized that this piece of land in the heart of Petaluma has the potential to be a remarkable and exciting park for all. And it's so important, not that we get it done quickly, but that we get it done right.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we realize that as enthusiastic as our volunteer team and has incredible in terms of the hours of support and the skills that they've all brought to the effort, from legal to accounting to fundraising, that we need to have a permanent and professional staff to make sure that we stay on track, and that especially as we get these government grants, that they're properly managed and administered. And so we will be bringing on for the first time paid staff at the beginning of the new year, and I can tell your listeners to look forward to exciting announcements about that in the very near future.
It sounds great. So if somebody wants to get involved, there it's PetalumaRiverPark.org.
That is correct, and we have a sign up on our website, and we are really welcoming people who want to bring skills or expertise, and of course, we're always willing to accept a check. The good news is that our operational funding is secure, and dollars that come in will go 100% towards park development. And there are several areas of focus for the coming year. Fundraising is obviously one of them. Community outreach is another. We intend to spend a lot of time next year talking and listening to all of the different members of the community. This park is right in the heart of our city. It's our central park. And so it really needs to offer, to the extent possible, a place where everyone feels welcome. And so a good part of our work in the coming year is going to be about understanding how to make that happen. And what does a Petaluma Central Park look like and feel like for all of the parks?
I think it's great that, go ahead.
No, then there's other activities that we'll do. As you know from the real estate business, entitlements take a long time. And with riverfront property, you've got everybody, you've got an alphabet soup of government agencies that are going to want to look under the hood, so to speak, as we make decisions about stabilizing the stream banks, doing the environmental restoration and habitat formation that the landscape needs. So in the meantime, we're submitting documentation to maintain the existing trail there so that it can be accessible. We are also looking to install two or three pieces of art that will be visible and an attraction on the peninsula, so that people have a reason to go down and kind of get to know the land and start to think about how it might evolve and what kind of programming we should do there for schools, for arts, and for recreation.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, the whole thing, I just think it was a wonderful idea for somebody to, a vision that they had and that you're all taking on. And you're right, you mentioned that, when you are on the waterfront, it is a huge, there's all the organizations that get involved, and people don't realize that when they buy lakefront or riverfront, or even if you have what they call a blue line creek running through your property, displacing soil, building anything, it's a huge thing. So you've got your work cut out there. But I think it doesn't sound like you're doing a lot of really building. You're going to be adding some trees and some infrastructure a little, and the art, like you said, but just creating a space for people to go. So I think the public input is really good, and you are taking public input on what, this is a park for the people. So, what people want to see. So do you have workshops and meetings like the county would have where they take input, or do
Yes. We have worked, we are very fortunate to receive grant in partnership the Sonoma Land Trust, and we gathered 10 other local nonprofit organizations over the past 6 months just to figure out how best to approach the various constituencies that these organizations represented or worked for. And so we have in draft at this very moment a very comprehensive game plan to go out and step by step introduce ourselves to the community, get feedback, and start to have this back and forth conversation about the needs and uses for that land. And of course, the big challenge is going to be to balance the environmental concerns around preserving the property and improving it so that it remains viable wild habitat, mm-hmm. and accommodating the human uses. We'd love to have an amphitheater, and we'd love to have a classroom out there so the teachers in local schools could literally sign up for a few hours and they go and they would find microscopes and the equipment to take water samples and look at the salinity levels and the turbidity in the river and keep coming back and back to the peninsula, living science lab. That's one of the thoughts around what could happen there that would make it this vibrant place that people use for people and art and understanding nature and understanding sea level rise.
Yeah, I think it's the whole thing. It just I love the idea, and I love that classroom idea and the science and, you know, aspect of it, and teaching our kids and leaving it kind of the combination, it sounds like it, which is great. I think you have a great vision where it's keeping it wild and at the same time user friendly and all of that. I think I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I think it's a great resource for Petaluma for years to come. And if anybody wants to learn more about it, we're going to run out of time, but PetalumaRiverPark.org, go there. They're also Facebook, Petaluma River Park, Instagram, Petaluma River Park, just Google Petaluma River Park. Matt Stone, and there's some great information that you sent me that I'll put on the Facebook page, and then also the link will be on our podcast, which is at ksro.com. You go to shows and then Ask the Expert, look for the Real Estate Hour. You'll find our podcast. But thank you so much for everything you're doing and for calling in today and explaining it. And if anybody wants to help, they're looking for donations, you're looking for any volunteer or anything like that as well.
We will do our best to use volunteers because we're prescribed from doing too much work on the park until permitting processes are completed.
Right.
The hands-on activity is limited, but we're working to develop the kind of thing, so we may put in a garden this spring trying to create a pollinator garden. We have to balance the activation of the park with the permitting requirements, which are the subject of a whole nother conversation.
Right. We talk about that a lot on the Real Estate Hour. Okay, well, I'm going to have to let you go, but I really appreciate you calling in today and all the information, and thanks so much for what you're doing. And I just love the idea that this couple of people saw this piece of land, had the vision, made it happen. I think it's such a great story, and I'm excited to follow along and see how you guys do. If anybody has more questions, PetalumaRiverPark.org. Matt Stone, Acting Executive Director of the Petaluma River Park Foundation, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. I'll be anticipating Halloween. The follow-up. You as well. Happy Halloween. Take care. All righty, that is going to wrap up our show today. I think we've got a minute left. So, I mean, I'm just really excited about the whole idea. And the realtor in me, or the person who loves real estate in me, I just think it's so cool that you can take, you know, that somebody saw this piece of land, saw the opportunity, and went for it. And, you know, I mentioned that there's one of my favorite sayings is leap and the net will appear. Sometimes you got to take that leap of faith, and it's a process. Like he said, it was over a year of you know, all of the inspections and all of the things. But you know, if you have the vision and you have the gumption to have the confidence to get it going, that's what's so exciting about real estate in my mind. So anyway, as you can see, I'm really passionate about it. Anyway, have a great Halloween, you guys. If you have any real estate questions, comments, want to sell some property, want to buy some property, I am an active realtor here in Sonoma County. Reach out if you have any questions, 707-799-3617. Love to chat with you. Have a great day. Happy Halloween.
The preceding was a paid presentation. News, traffic, weather, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.
From ABC News, I'm Brian.